From Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology News, this is the GenCast Network. Bringing you compelling and in-depth interviews with the biotech industry's leading researchers, newsmakers, and thought leaders. This week on the GenCast Network. Dr. Doris Taylor from the University of Minnesota is interviewed by Gen's editor-in-chief John Sterling about the creation of a beating heart in the laboratory.
Dr. Doris Taylor is director of the University of Minnesota Center for Cardiovascular Repair. She is also Medtronic Bakken Professor of Medicine and Physiology at the university. Dr. Taylor is involved in both laboratory and clinical studies using cell therapy to treat disease. Dr. Taylor, would you provide our listeners with the main details of your experiment in creating a beating heart in the laboratory?
It's actually pretty straightforward. We took a heart from a rat that had died. We removed, hung that heart in the laboratory, used detergent, basically the same stuff that's in shampoo, to go into the blood supply to that heart and literally wash all the cells out. So we were left with the framework that the cells sit on. And it's kind of like gutting a house from the inside. And so then once we had washed all the cells out, we basically had what we call a scaffold, something on which we could put new cells. It looked like a heart, and when we transplanted new cells in there, it began to act like a heart. We transplanted heart cells, and over time, those began to beat, and the heart began to beat strongly enough that it could actually pump.
In your experiment, you used a process called whole organ decellularization.
Right.
Can you tell us more about this technique and how it works?
That's basically the washing out of the cells. We used detergents that you find in the laboratory to dissolve everything that's in the cells. And the nice part about this, decellularization has been used in the past to create things like valves of hearts, pig valves, and smaller structures. But what we were able to do by using the blood supply to deliver this detergent was actually begin to generate this framework from the whole tissue and whole organ. And that meant we could have something to begin to build on going forward.
In your study, you relied on immature heart cells. I've read that eventually you would like to use a patient's stem cells to build a new heart.
Right.
How might this approach be employed?
So it's, again, it makes a lot of sense. If you needed a heart, our goal would be to take a pig heart, something the same size as a human heart, or a heart from a human donor that couldn't otherwise be transplanted, and remove all the cells from that. Once we did, we would take stem cells from you, and right now we're guessing as to which stem cells would be best, but from your bone marrow, from your blood, maybe even from a little biopsy of your heart. And we would transplant those cells into that new scaffold, and then you would have a heart that matched your body.
You were quoted as saying that decellularization already shows the potential to change how scientists think about engineering organs other than the heart. Would you elaborate on this point?
It's not just about heart. There are about 50,000 people every year waiting for a donor organ. And that ranges from kidney to liver to heart to pancreas. And our hope is that we can build virtually any organ. So we've already used the decellularization process to remove cells from virtually any organ that gets a blood supply. So we're highly excited and think we've maybe created a tool that will give other scientists and clinicians something they can use to begin to build their organ of choice.
What are the next research steps for your team's tissue engineering work in this area?
There are a couple of different directions we can go. Obviously, moving this forward to create a therapeutic organ is critical, and we're going to do that. What that means is we're going to understand more. As you know, the heart we created in the laboratory beats, but it doesn't beat as strongly as an adult heart. So we've got to figure out how to make it better. And I think in some ways, there's some very straightforward ways to do that. We let it grow longer. We put more cells in. We give the cells a little more of what they need to think they're in a heart environment, and I'm convinced we'll get better heartbeats. But in addition to building organs for therapy, what we've got the opportunity to do now is begin to understand some basic biology. For the first time, we have a kidney, we have a liver, we have a lung, we have a pancreas, and we can put a stem cell in every one of those and say, does it know what to do? Does it know it should become a kidney, liver, lung, or heart? Or before we ever put it in, was it committed to doing something else? I call that the nature versus nurture argument for stem cells.
I'm John Sterling. Thanks for listening. Now we'd like your input on this week's podcast. Please go to www.genengnews.com/blog and give us your thoughts. We would also appreciate it if you would answer the following question. What additional work do you think needs to be done from a tissue engineering point of view to move Dr. Taylor's beating heart experiment forward and eventually into the clinic? Bye for now.
To learn more about topics discussed in this GenCast or to listen to previous GenCasts, visit our website at www.genengnews.com. New GenCasts are posted every week, Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For the Gen Publishing editorial staff, I'm Jonathan Ellinghouse saying thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week to the GenCast Network.